Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, this is a special episode of SHR. I'm supposed to be off the air today, but I'm in the studio with Alex Leaf. Alex traveled all the way from Washington State to spend the week with Elisa and I. He's going to be in the studio. He's going to be on Casual Friday. But Alex and I trained this morning. We had lots of lively banter, and we thought, what the hell? Let's turn it on and open it up to the audience. And if you have any questions during this discussion, this commercial-free discussion, post them on the Facebook post for this this brief show today, and you'll even get a shout out. How about that? We'll mention your name, and it'll be stored in perpetuity in our archives. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing well, Carl.
Get close to that mic, Alex.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, aim it at yourself instead of there you go. And you could lower it a little bit too if you want to. Just grab it and pull it down. No, you don't have to twist anything. Just grab the microphone itself. Grab the mic. Pull it. There you go. Perfect. So, how do you like being here in Louisville?
It's humid.
Yes, it is humid.
It's very humid, much different than Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's warm, too. Yesterday when we picked you up from the airport, it was 98 degrees and humid.
Yeah, but it feels good. I'm a little sun baby myself, so I love being out in the heat.
Yeah, I like to sweat myself. So anyway, we trained legs this morning. I'm actually allowing Alex to set up a training protocol for me. He's going to set up my diet, too, while we're here, and taking advantage of his brilliance. Alex is probably one of the most thoughtful, and I mean thoughtful from the standpoint of he puts a lot of thought into things, not that he's so considerate. And he puts a lot of thought into everything he does. Everything he does is for a reason. Nothing he does is unfounded or unresearched. And so I need to change my training. I've said that. I've beat myself into the ground for decades now. I need to train more intelligently. Unfortunately, I am not that intelligent. So I have to turn to someone more intelligent to give me some pointers. So talk about our leg session this morning. What did we do? We opened up with something I've never done before. I never do warm-ups. I never warm up before. I mean, my warm-up, if I'm opening with deadlifts or squats or leg presses, my warm-up is basically my first set. That's it.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really enjoy doing when I'm working, when I'm setting up a routine, is I prefer to do abdominal work in the beginning, because it not only serves as a great warm-up for your entire body, but if you wait until the end, you're probably going to be too tired, and then you're going to just say, oh, well, I got my main workout in, so what's the point of working my core? And your core is kind of really important for every other muscle in your body. So on this particular day, we worked legs, and our emphasis was on hip hinge movement patterns. So our primary movement was the deadlift, or in our case, the trap bar deadlift,
right,
which I prefer for reasons I'll discuss later. So to warm up for that with our core, I wanted to work on some anti-flexion movements, which included an abdominal rollout, because when you're doing a deadlift, you need to prevent your spine from rounding forward.
Right.
So we wanted to kind of condition that movement pattern by doing the abdominal rollout, because when you're in the very bottom position, you're preventing your spine from rounding forward and kind of jetting out. And then we followed that up with doing some very simple lying single leg glute bridges, which is exactly what it sounds. You lie on your back, you lift up one leg, and then you use the other leg to do a glute bridge. And that's just mimicking the hip hinge pattern we're going to need for the deadlift. And finally, I like to do what are called suitcase deadlifts, which is where you do a deadlift movement pattern, but you only have weight on one side of your body. So we took a barbell, and we loaded it up to 80 pounds, and we had that on one side of our body. So while keeping our torso from bending entirely, we got down, grabbed the bar, and then deadlifted it up, just like you were picking up a suitcase. And we did that on each side. So that was our warm-up. Not only did it work on anti-flexion, anti-lateral flexion, but it also trained the movement patterns we're going to need for our main lift, which was the deadlift. So it works the core, and it warms you up for the lift you're about to perform. And so with that, then we moved on to the trap bar deadlift. Now.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
I had never done a suitcase deadlift. I had never done a one-legged glute bridge. I do plenty of, I call them inchworms for your abs. I think it's the greatest exercise for your abs, really. So I activated muscles that I don't normally activate. And I think I'm, you know, and I think I train, you know, I do hip thrusts, I do squats, I do deadlifts, I do trap bar deadlifts. And I have to qualify that because ever since I tore my hamstring a few years ago, I don't do a traditional deadlift as often anymore. But I mean, I felt muscles working that I was surprised. I think I'm a pretty well-rounded trainee, but those single leg glute bridges are amazing. And I'll tell you why, because I've done glute bridges. When you do a bilateral glute bridge, the hip girdle, and the dominant leg really do a lot of work. When you do one-legged glute bridges, holy mackerel. I mean, I never get that much of a pump and or lactate buildup from glute bridges when I'm doing them with two legs. It's just amazing. That's an amazing move. I would never thought of, to do that as a warm-up to a leg workout. Really good.
Yeah, yeah. And I really just like how it forces you to stabilize your pelvis, too, when you're doing the movement, because you're removing one of the things, you know, that second leg, you're removing that. So your pelvis wants to tilt down to the ground.
Right.
But you have to activate your core musculature to prevent that from happening. So
then we went on to the trap bar deadlift.
Yeah. And so trap bar deadlift, I prefer it over a conventional deadlift because it puts less load on the spine. Because the weight stays along your center of gravity, and I guess for those of you who don't know, a trap bar deadlift is kind of like you're standing inside of a box, and the handles are on the side of this box. So you don't need to lean forward as much when you're doing a trap bar deadlift compared to when you're doing a conventional deadlift. So the weight stays along your body line and your center of gravity. And so for this reason, it lets you come more upright and go up and down rather than tilt forward. So consequently, it's not as effective as a conventional deadlift for targeting the glutes or the hamstrings, but it still does a really good job, and it's safer on the spine, especially as you work up with higher loads.
Is there a way to modify it to make it hit the glutes and hamstrings to a greater degree?
I mean, you could bend forward more with it, but at that point, it's like, why not do conventional? Because then the box risks hitting the backs of your legs if you come too far forward, and I just don't see the point.
What about putting plates under the front of the feet or the back of the feet? Would that cause you to activate the glutes and hamstrings to a greater degree?
I don't know, but just considering that deadlifts are usually a movement people do with a lot of weight and power, I wouldn't want to disturb the footing balance.
Yeah, right, right.
But it's also just a great movement to generate power because it doesn't rely as exclusively on the posterior chain muscles. It lets you draw in a little more quadricep work. I find that I can lift more weight on it because it just, at least for me, it feels like a more natural power-generating movement.
Which, the fact is, if you're doing the traditional deadlift properly and you're not letting the bar drag along your shins, which is what helps you compensate for that forward lean.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing the deadlift properly, the bar is literally dragging across your shins, which means your shins are getting really, really banged up. I've often thought about wearing goalie shin guards to deadlift because of this, but that's the only way you can correct for the anatomically inappropriate forward lean of a traditional deadlift. And that goes out the window when you do a trap bar deadlift because you're standing straight. You're not being pulled forward. Your center of gravity is straight up and down instead of slightly to the front of you.
Yeah.
It's a great movement. It really is. And a lot of people discount it because they go, well, it's easier. It can't be that good. The other one is harder. But the other one is harder not because it applies more force to the muscles, but because the body is trying to compensate for an abnormal position against the weight. Yeah, your back, right? Your lower back, which we found out this morning. This is why I got to tell you something. I've never trained with anybody in all these decades. I've never trained with anybody. I've never gone to a professional trainer and said, work with me, tell me what's wrong with me, because I always feel like I know better than them, right? I mean, I host the show, right? I've got to know more, right? And the first thing that Alex noticed when I was deadlifting, because I don't get down deep enough, and I corrected that in today's session, is he's like, you know, you're not activating your glutes. You got to get down deeper. And so leave that alone. Let's save that. Let's talk about that, because you're going to see why this is important later on in the workout. So we did our deadlift. We did our heavy power movement. We stayed in the 5-rep range. We went up pretty heavy. And then we moved on to the next movement,
which is going to be an assistance exercise for the opposing muscle group. So this was, for us, we did leg press. And this will make more sense if you were to look at the layout over the cross of a week. Because I prefer to train each muscle group twice per week for intermediate and advanced trainees. And during each of these sessions, especially for legs, as people become stronger, I prefer to have one movement pattern be emphasized during each workout. So for today, we emphasize the hip hinge, and that's what our power movement was. The next time we train legs later in the week, we'll be emphasizing a squat movement pattern, which will focus more on the quadriceps.
Right.
But you still want to hit each muscle twice per week. So even though today's focus is on hip hinge, we still want to make sure we hit the quads. So we moved on the leg press to kind of give our hip hinge muscles a little break. And we did leg presses for sets of 10 to 12. And on these, I mean, it's just kind of what it sounds. Leg press. Carl did a great job.
We did. So normally I go high. The leg press machine that we use at my gym, we have a few different ones, has a much larger platform. So you can get up higher, you can get wider with it, or you can get narrow, whatever you want. So I usually go high and wide, which activates my hamstrings to a greater degree, and I'm much stronger. When my hamstrings and my quads are doing the pushing, 1,300 pounds for 12 reps is not an issue. Today we went lighter, and we also brought the back. This is another interesting thing. So usually when I do leg presses, I bring the back of the leg press machine pretty far up. So I'm literally, my hips are at a 90-degree angle, right? My upper body and my legs are at a 90-degree angle, and I'm pushing that way. So Alex said, no, let's recline the back. Let's put ourselves in a more natural, quote-unquote, squatting position where the lumbar spine is not completely extended into its danger zone. But instead, if you were to stand up straight, this would be a natural position for you to crouch down in. So the challenge here is the heavier you get, the it wants to push you out of the seat, so you got to hold on to the seat more. But what I found was I was able to get deeper without having my hips roll out of the seat. Another great modification. And so we did these with a lower placement of the feet, keeping the emphasis more so on the quadriceps than the hamstrings. And go ahead. So from there, we did our leg presses. We did a few sets of 12.
Yeah.
And we walk in between all of our sets. One of the things I like about training with Alex is he believes, like I do, that walking for recovery is more efficient than sitting still and waiting for the time to pass.
Well, especially on leg day, because you're going to get a lot of metabolite buildup in your legs. And when you walk, you're getting some really small muscle contractions with each step. And that really helps pump out the metabolites that build up from the heavy training and flush new blood and nutrients into the musculature to help with recovery. I'm sure it varies from person to person. I have found that I do better on subsequent sets when I am able to walk or do that light active recovery in between.
Right.
You know, your mileage may vary, but it's definitely something I would say experiment with, because it's not going to cost you anything. If it doesn't work, it doesn't. But if it does, there you go.
Gabriella Regino is listening live right now. We want to give her a shout out. If you want a shout out, just like this post on Facebook, where we posted that we were doing this live commercial free special event. Anyway, so we did our leg presses. Then where'd we go from there?
So after leg presses, I wanted to go back and kind of finish up our hip hinge movement. So we went to leg curls. And with these, you know, Carl asked me, do you want to do lying or seated leg curls? I prefer to follow up on deadlifts with a seated leg curl just because it puts our hip in a more flexed position, whereas on a deadlift you're spending more time in an extended position, so it just kind of balances things out. But ultimately it doesn't really matter.
But you even had a modification for this that actually changed the movement. It's a very, very subtle modification, but normally when I do a seated leg curl, I put my back and my butt back against the seat. I get a long, long leg so that it's fully extended and completely locked out. And then I push against the handles to keep myself in that seat and drive my legs under me. You had me lean forward. My butt was still at the back of the seat, but you had me lean forward, which put the hamstrings in an already pre-stretched position, which meant that I could not get a full extension. My knees would not lock out because my hamstrings were firing. They were engaged at the top of the movement. And you had me do a slow, controlled movement, leaning forward. The only thing I did was lean forward. My butt and my legs were still in the same position on the seat. But by leaning forward, as you pointed out, because the hamstrings can activate from the hip side or the knee side, by doing that, I locked the hip side in place so that the hamstring had to fire and shorten instead of just shift forward and backwards. Totally different movement just with that subtle change.
Yeah, yeah. So the hamstring is a group of muscles, and some of those muscles are biarticulate, which means that they cross both the hip and the knee joint. So when you're doing a leg curl, a lot of people, when they flex the knee and they have their hamstrings shorten on the knee side, they compensate by also kind of like rounding their pelvis, posteriorly tilting their pelvis. So the length of the hamstring never really changes that much. And that's because they're allowing movement at both ends. So what we wanted to do is...
So really what it's like is instead of it being a muscle, it's like a rope.
Yeah,
that's pulling back
exactly.
and forth.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that, and you're not, and so then you're really not, you're using the hamstrings in a static position as opposed to a flexed and shortened position.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so what we wanted to do is lock the butt in place and really kind of have you arch your low back and lean forward so that it's almost like you're hyperextending. And that just helps make sure the pelvis isn't going to rotate. So those hamstring muscles are now locked into the pelvis. And so now the only place where they can move is at the knee joint. And that's exactly what we want. Because when you're doing the leg curl, you're going to be flexing and extending the knee and letting that hamstring contract and come back out and do what it's meant to do.
So then we did, by the way, we have to give two more shout outs. Christina De Leon and Elisa Profumo are listening live also. We'll talk about Elisa's training session because she trained with you today as well.
Yep.
So after doing the leg curls, then we moved on to?
To a glute to ham raise.
Yeah. Now this is where the lights went on for Alex as he watched me train.
Okay. So
we went into the CrossFit area because they have that wonderful glute ham raise thing that they use in all their competitions. So they have it in the CrossFit area. And obviously Alex went first. And he set up the movement. He said, okay, we want the glutes to be the only thing raising you. We don't want anything else. And I was like, yeah, okay, no problem. I mean, I squat heavy. I deadlift heavy. Surely my glutes can raise me, right? So go ahead.
Okay. So the key with this one is the padding, you want it to be on your quadricep. So that way, when you're falling down over the pads, you're able to form like an L with your body and be flexed at the hips 90 degrees. From that point, you want to retract your scapula and kind of extend your spine just a little bit so that your spinal muscles are locking your spine into place.
Into a natural arch.
Into a natural arch. And with that, you just gently flex your butt and it should pull you up
right
to horizontal. And I want to mention that I prefer the glute to ham raise like this over a lot of the 45 inclined ones because on the 45 incline, after you hit horizontal,
yeah,
then gravity is no longer pulling on you 100%.
Right.
So on the glute to ham raise, that top position is going to be the most difficult because of gravity. Okay. And that's what we're looking for maximal stimulus on the muscle.
And so when I did them, Alex said, stop. And I said, what's the matter? He said, you're muscling it up with your lower back. You're not really firing your glutes. And he could see the arch in my back doing all the movement, and my glutes really weren't firing at all. So he said, stop. We're not going to do this movement for you anymore. We're going to change something later in the week for you. So we started to talk about it, and he said, you know, you've got lots of lower back problems. When you first started to deadlift, that first set, it was all lower back. He said, your lower legs were hardly even bending. He said, you've got a really, really strong lower back, and it compensates for the fact that your glutes don't fire, and this may be the root of why you have lower back problems. Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably is true. So the objective as we move forward with my training plan that Alex is going to produce for me will be to enlist my glutes more and get them to work more. And in fact, I noticed something. After today's session, walking, I noticed that my butt naturally popped out today. I am one of those white guys who naturally sucks his butt in and tilts my hips forward. That's my natural position. I was thinking about it when I was showering after the session. I was like, why do I thrust my hips forward like that just when I'm standing? And you know what it is? Because my glutes are not strong at all. So my body compensates by enlisting my hamstrings and my lower back to do the work that my glutes should be doing. Today when I was walking, I noticed that it felt different when I walked. I could feel my glutes working today after our session. So you're spot on. And this is why it's so important to enlist a trainer from time to time to watch what you do. I would have never I would have trained the way I trained for the next 10 years. And this could be a huge reason why I have lumbar spine problems.
Yeah.
That was
pretty cool.
I want to play some music. No commercials. It's commercial free. We're just going to play some music as a musical interlude. If you want to call in and talk to Alex, 502-690-2298, feel free to dial in. We're going to talk about Elisa's training session when we come back. Stay tuned.
Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a need, bro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a heat, bro. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers. Give him blood, step back, watch him kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother.
Welcome back. This is like NPR.
Yeah. Except better.
Like this Facebook post, and we'll give you a shout-out on today's show. How's that? Okay, so then Elisa came in. I was done training, so Alex was going to train with Elisa. So talk about Elisa's training session. What did you notice? What did you do? You did everything the same thing with her as you did with me, right?
Yep, and the first thing I noticed is that she has amazing form.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything for me to correct other than on the leg press. And so I'm not going to focus on the deadlift because she did that great, and I think we covered it well with Carl.
And she's never deadlifted before.
Yeah, so I was really happy with that. But on the leg press, Elisa naturally put her feet higher up on the pad. And if you've seen Elisa, you know that she has a very strong glute and hamstring muscles.
Right.
And when she was putting her feet higher up on the pad, it was the weight she was doing was very easy. Very easy. And what I noticed is that the knee never really moved in front of the ankle joint. If you were to draw a straight line, it might have moved maybe 1 inch or so, but her feet were so high up that all the bend was coming more so at the knee and hip joint rather than at the knee and ankle joint.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had her move her feet about 2 inches down. And from there, her knee, when she was in the far bottom position, was just above her toe. And at that point, I mean, you could see her struggling when she was doing leg presses, and she commented afterward that, you know, I've never felt my quads, you know, fire like that on the leg press before, and she could really feel them working. And so I think this is an important point for people who do the leg press, because it is truly a wonderful leg exercise. But the two things people need to look out for is the back position and the feet position.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that having, depending on what machine you're on, having the back extended as far as possible so that you're as upright as possible is going to be the best way to do the leg press, because you're not compressing your body with as much weight, and it lets you get more range of motion.
Well, you know what else I noticed? So when I'm in that hyper upright position, that 90 degree position, there is some tissue leverage I'm taking advantage of at the bottom of the movement, because mm-hmm. my hips are starting to touch my quads.
Yeah.
You know, and then at the very, very bottom, my upper legs are starting to hit my gut.
Yeah, your body catches the weight. That's so exactly what they do in powerlifting.
At the bottom of the movement, I'm not really taking advantage of the time under tension, because a lot of the work, some portion of the work, we know magic fingers, right? So maybe just 10 to 15% of the work is being done by tissue leverage. And so I'm losing the value of the bottom of that movement entirely.
Yeah. And so then the second thing to look out for is foot position. Generally speaking, the higher up your feet are, the more glute and ham activation, the lower down, the more quad. Depending on what your goals are, you could go either way. But for just all-purpose leg press exercises, I find a happy medium is to find a spot on the leg press where when you're in the full bottom position where you can't let the weight lower anymore, your knees are going to be just above your toes or a little in front of them.
And that's right, just right there, just a little bit in front, not
yeah.
extremely in front.
Yeah, because it doesn't put your knee at risk of injury, and it lets you get maximal stimulation of the quadricep while still in an injury-free zone. If you go any lower, then you're really going to be bending hard at the knee, and especially with heavy weight, that does have potential to cause an injury. I'm not saying it will happen, but it's more likely. And, you know, the best thing to do is to work out injury-free, because once you get an injury, everything changes.
Okay, so that was your critique on her leg press, and so she obviously is changing the way she leg presses. What about the glute ham raise? Did you do that with her over at the CrossFit area?
Yeah, and she nailed it.
Yeah, she did great.
She has strong glutes. She did comment that she really felt it in the glutes,
yeah.
and she really likes that exercise now.
Yeah.
So
that was it. Now, the other thing that I felt amazed about, and I said this to Elisa when I was leaving the gym, is I did not feel hammered into the ground after this session. So most of the time, every single movement I do is with maximum weight and maximum reps. And I walk out of the gym feeling completely annihilated. I felt kind of energized when I left the gym. I felt better. I felt good. And keep in mind, I haven't been sleeping well. So even with not sleeping well last night, I didn't feel annihilated. And I said to Alex, well, if I can make gains training like this, this is wonderful. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to, I mean, make gains with the least amount of work possible. You know, if you could, for example, if you could make a certain amount of gains with three sets, then why waste time doing four?
Right.
You know, save the four until the three is no longer working.
Right. Right. So you're gonna create training and nutritional guidelines for me that we'll use moving forward, and we'll talk about them on the show as we go forward as well. So that'll be pretty cool. You just graduated from Bastyr University. You have a degree now as a registered dietitian, right?
No. I have a master's degree in nutrition, but a registered dietitian is an entirely different certification that requires more, not necessarily schooling, but I need to go through an internship and then take an exam. And so that's a separate certification. What I have right now is just a master's degree in nutrition, and I'm currently in the final review process to become a certified nutritionist for the state of Washington.
Will you become a registered dietitian as well?
I want to in the future, yes. It's definitely something I plan to do.
And in fact, you will be opening your doors on your new practice very soon, once some other things are put in place. We can kind of
let the teaser out there. What's the name of your website?
So it'll be Leaf Nutrition, just my last name followed by the word nutrition. And it'll be a private practice that I'm running alongside a friend in my hometown of Bellevue. And so I'm really excited to get in there and start meeting with clients and helping them achieve whatever their goals are. But I will also be setting up online consulting. So for anyone who wants to work with me but doesn't have the capability to come meet me in person, then I do have packages available for those individuals, and I would be more than happy to meet with you. The website is leaf-nutrition.com. It is not live yet, so if you go there, nothing will show. But in the near future, that's where everything will be at.
Won't they see what we saw this morning, or is that the
no,
test site?
No, I haven't published it yet.
Okay. Elisa said, don't leave out my leg curls. What was special about her leg curls?
I don't know. Tell her to give me a hint.
Give him a hint, Elisa.
She had great form. She scooted her butt back and
leaned forward.
I mean, everything just looked great.
Yeah. Okay. Let us know if there was something specific that you wanted us to talk about your leg curls.
And I'm sorry if I forgot.
So, with the private practice, are you going to focus specifically on sports nutrition, or are you going to try to help people who have diet-related illnesses help themselves?
Given where I'm located, I'm going to have a diverse clientele. And so I'll be helping people just become healthier, but I'm also will be helping fitness enthusiasts maximize whatever their goals are. But by and large, given what the current population is, I will definitely be seeing a lot more of just general want to establish healthier lifestyle habits.
Diabetes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still writing for examine.com?
I am, yes.
Anything new coming up?
Well, every 2 weeks we have the bi-monthly Examine Research Digest, which if you haven't signed up for it yet, I would highly recommend you do it. That's where I write the articles for them, and I collaborate with the editors and reviewers at Examine to turn them into the final product. And they are definitely a joy to read, and we'll learn a lot. We try to not only talk about the newest emerging research, but we also put it in the context of what's already out there. So when you read an article, you'll say, hey, this is, what I can learn from this most recent study, but how does that fit into the bigger picture? And that's what we try to provide with the Examine Research Digest.
And Examine.com is kind of like EWG or Consumer Labs in that they don't have a stake in the game other than to release the information. So they're not a supplement company behind them that's funding them. It's all about the information, and we need more sources of information like that. Mm-hmm. Unbiased. Look, examine.com can get their opinion wrong too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
But at least if you get something wrong and you're doing it from a benevolent position where you just don't get it right, as opposed to being influenced by a brand or an industry or something like that, that's forgivable. But it's unforgivable when it's a shill type of an organization that's promoting science that's based on their research, that's based on their products, blah, blah, blah. So I like what examine.com is doing. Very, very good. Let's do this. Let's play a little music. I like doing this. This is just like public radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah. It's officially the biggest midget in the game. I'm just in line. I ain't got the biggest breasts, this is my Ira.
Welcome back. Welcome back to NPR.
Except better.
Yeah. NPR on steroids. Oh, no, steroids are bad. So what Elisa wanted us to mention was that she ended up being much stronger in the leg curl than she thought she would be, right? Was it the leg curl? Or the,
well, yeah, it was. It was really every lift. Now that I think about it, I was so focused on, you know, things that were happening when I was training her with regard to form and all that stuff that I just completely overlooked the fact that, like, when she started out on deadlifts, you know, her first set with the weight, she got 6 reps. But then as soon as her neuromuscular system kicked in, and because she had never done them before and realized, oh, this is the movement pattern, suddenly she was up to 8 reps, and then she was increasing weight. And so it'll be really interesting for me to see how quickly she makes progress on that movement just from her nervous system becoming more efficient at performing that movement pattern. But also on the leg press, the leg curl, all of that, it was just, it was a lot easier than she thought. And I think this is an important point for a lot of weightlifters out there. We tend to have two types of people. One type will increase the weight every single session because they feel that if they don't, they aren't going to progress. Other people will stick with the same weight for session after session after session, thinking they need to somehow own it.
Right.
And the reality is that you need to do both. I think that it's important to make sure that you feel comfortable using a certain weight, but even if you know, you might not quite be there, you need to increase the weight and continue with that progressive overload to continue making progress, because that's the only way you're going to make that previous weight feel lighter. So one of the things to do this is to use simple repetition ranges. So let's say you're working on a strength-oriented movement, and let's say your goal is 5 to 7 reps. And I'm using 5 to 7 reps because for some reason people really hate odd numbers. So I just kind of want to annoy them a little bit. You know, everyone's always doing
4 to 6, 12 to 16, 8 to 10, 10 to 12.
Well, how about 5 to 7? Okay, good. Or 3 to 5. So let's say you're doing 3 sets, not including warm up. So you warm up and then suddenly you're on your working sets. So 5 to 7, you hit 7 on the first one. Great. You hit maybe 6 on the second one. Okay. And then let's say you hit 6 on the third. Okay. So then the next workout, you do 7, and then instead of 6, you do 7 again, and then 6 on the last one. Or maybe even you drop down to 5 because that 7th on the second one really took it out of you. That's progress. You just increased the amount of reps that you could do from 7-6 to now you're at 7-7.
Right.
And now you got to work on that third set. So then the next session, maybe you're at 7-7, and then you're up to 6. After that, drop down to 5. And then the session after that, 7-7-7. You just hit 777, which is actually kind of funny because I wasn't intending for that to happen, but now it's like jackpot. And now it's time to increase the weight. So you first progress on the repetitions, and then you progress on the weight. And that's the double progressive method of overload. And so now you progress, and let's say you increase the weight. Typically, the increase, it depends on the exercise and the, and what you have available, but usually 5% is a solid number to go with. And so you increase 5%, and now maybe you're down at 6, 6, and then 5. Well, now you just got to work up to your 777s again, and then you increase the weight again.
Yeah. So, and again, progression has to be part of the equation, but just – you don't have to progress every session. It can happen over the course
of a couple of sessions. Yeah, you might be at, let's say you're at 7-7-6, the next session, 7-7-6, the session after that, 7-7-5. No, you're not getting weaker. Okay, maybe that was just a bad training day. You have to look at long-term trends.
Right.
And then the session after that, 777, time to increase.
So will you offer training as part of your offerings on your website? I think you should. I think you're missing out if you don't.
Yeah, you know, with what I have set up right now, I don't, but I think it's a good idea, and I love training and talking with people about it, so I'll probably put together a fitness package as well that I can do separately away from nutrition for people who just want the fitness advice, and then I can also bundle it with a nutrition package for
you
people who want
both.
You have
to bundle it. Nutrition is, I mean, nutrition has to be part of it. You can't just say, well, I'm going to teach you how to train, eat however you want.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. They go hand in hand, yeah. But you never know. It's always what the client wants.
So Adele Moose is coming on the show very shortly. I think Elisa booked him on the show maybe next week or something.
Good.
Like that.
He needs to come back on.
He needs to be on more often.
Yes, hasn't been in a while. Definitely.
But he's very busy. He keeps turning out better and better blogs. So I hear that he and Sean Casey may be doing something together. Is that true? You don't want to talk about it right now?
It's well,
okay. You don't.
We want to, I guess. It's we have our little brain trust, and we want to do something in the future where we can help others and combine our experiences and knowledge. But at this point in time, it's kind of just a dream that we all have.
Well,
because
okay,
we're also,
so are you planning on doing the written word or the spoken word? Are you going to do blog posts and articles, or are you going to do a podcast?
Well, if we did a podcast, it would be through Superhuman Radio, but we were doing written stuff was our plan.
See, I know that Adele favors the written word because you can glean it, you can fast forward to a paragraph that you're interested in and move on.
Yeah.
He's all about expeditious research. On the other hand, podcasts lend themselves to be more accessible and convenient because people listen to them in their car, on the way to work, in the train, while they're working in the yard. They don't have to be planted in front of something, reading something. They don't have to sit in front of their Kindle or their cell phone or their iPhone to read something. So they both have their advantages. I would suggest that when you guys are ready to do this, you let us help you.
Okay.
And we put it out as a podcast, and then we just transcribe the podcast, and we have the best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But again, at this point, it's just kind of a dream, and we still have a lot to kind of figure out about it. But hopefully one day. Hopefully one day.
Who are we waiting on? Are we waiting on Adele to move
all
forward?
All of us. Yeah. We're waiting on all of us. Adele needs to finish his dissertation so he can get his PhD in physics.
A couple years ago, he was supposed to finish.
And I need to, get my nutrition consulting stuff up and running and established. And Sean's working with his new brand, Dietetic Advantage, and so he needs to get that in a more comfortable financial position. So all of us kind of have things we need to work on right now. So, but we definitely, it's not something we're just toying around with. It's something that we are committed to doing when we can in the future.
Right. I don't know that we have anything else to talk about.
Okay.
I think that's pretty much it. Now, we just kind of did this impromptu today. We hope you enjoyed it. And tomorrow we'll be back to our normal programming with Superhuman Radio. We have some great interviews set up. We hope you can tune in the rest of the week. And we'll see you then.
Bye.
You sound like Elisa. That's funny. Bye.
Come on. That was a good drum break.